everyone. God bless you. You can turn your Bibles to John chapter 5. That's where we're going to start. Before we get into that, I did want to thank Tom for the privilege of being up here. I've been a part of this church for 15 years, since I was 11 years old. I've seen God do a lot of things in my own heart as I went to him in prayer. And so many times when I prayed to God, he answered that prayer, the words that came from people standing right up here. So to be given the honor of being in that same position, that's something that I don't take lightly. So thank you for the privilege of being up here. But John chapter 5. We're going to start in verse 17. This is a record of Jesus Christ addressing a group of Jews, a group of people that were God's people at the time. And he had just healed a man. He had just healed a man who was paralyzed. And because it was on the Sabbath, the Jews had a problem with that, with healing a man on the Sabbath. They shouldn't have had. The Sabbath was a day for people to be delivered and see God's works and take a day from their own lives to focus on God. But Jesus Christ's response to this is in verse 17 of John 5. But Jesus answered them, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Jesus Christ made a tremendous claim here. He made a claim that he was the Son of God, that God was his Father, and that he was working with God. And what we're going to look at today is just considering whether we believe these things. Jesus Christ was asking these Jews to believe that, hey, I really am the Son of God. I really do walk with God and do the things he wants me to do. He continued in verse 19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise." A lot of times throughout the Gospels, the Jews would accuse Jesus Christ of being blasphemous. And the thing is, if Jesus Christ was not telling the truth, he absolutely was being blasphemous. For someone else, for anyone else, to say these things, it was worthy of death. It was worthy of being stoned. To say that you were the Son of God, to say that you did the things that God did, to say that God is the one that sent you. If that's not true, it's blasphemous. And Jesus Christ continued, "For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead, and quickeneth them, even so, the Son quickeneth whom he will. The Son makes alive whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father which hath sent him." You know, either these things are true, or they're blasphemous, and they're worthy of being stoned, as the Jews tried to do to Jesus Christ. There's no in-between. There are a couple other records in the Gospel of John where Jesus Christ says similar things. Let's turn to the next chapter, chapter 6. In verse 47. John 6:47, Jesus Christ is speaking again to a group of Jews. He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die." You know, Jesus Christ said, if you believe on me, you have everlasting life. We've heard that pretty much every week on Sunday. You know, if you come here, you hear that pretty much every week. Believe on Jesus Christ and you have eternal life. It's a very simple concept. But to these people at the time, it was groundbreaking. It was not something they had heard before, that this man who was standing before them would give them Jesus, would give them eternal life if they believed on him. Again, this was either true or it's blasphemous. It's either true or it's impossible. He's talking about, he references manna here in the wilderness when Moses led the children of Israel through the wilderness out of the nation of Egypt. We learned about this a couple months ago. They were given bread every morning. Bread appeared on the ground. How did it get there? God put it there. Who knows exactly how it happened, but God took care of it. But they all died then. Jesus Christ is saying that if you believe on him, you won't die. You'll get eternal life. He was putting himself on a pedestal above Moses. You know, for us, that's easy to accept because we've been taught all our lives, a lot of us have been taught all our lives that, well, Jesus Christ, he's Lord. Moses came before Jesus Christ. He was a predecessor, but Jesus Christ is Lord. To these people, Moses was one of their forefathers. He was one of the people that they really looked up to, that they've been taught about their whole lives. It was a tremendous thing to be told that there was someone who would give them something that Moses couldn't give them. Let's go to John chapter 8 in verse 51. Again, Jesus Christ is speaking. He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death." Then said the Jews unto him, "Now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead? And the prophets are dead. Who makest thou thyself? Who are you to make these claims?" Jesus Christ's response is wonderful. He basically says, "Hey, I'm not trying to honor myself, but yes." Verse 54, Jesus answered, "If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say, I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep my saying, and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." So he basically said, yes, I am greater than Abraham. And he is. Jesus Christ is Lord. It's sometimes difficult to understand how these people had trouble accepting Jesus Christ. Because again, we know Jesus Christ. A lot of us have heard about him all our lives. And if you know about Jesus Christ, you've been taught about Moses and Abraham just as his predecessor. But to these men, Abraham and Moses were the pillars of their society. It was a tremendous thing to accept that this man was greater than them, but he was asking them to believe it. For example, just to something we can relate to, who's an NBA fan here? NBA fans, basketball fans. All right, so the NBA playoffs are going on right now. There's a guy named LeBron James, who most experts of basketball will tell you LeBron James is the greatest basketball player in the world right now. Whether he is or he's not, that's not our discussion. Most people will say that. Most people will also say Michael Jordan, who retired about 15 years ago. He's the greatest basketball player to ever play the game. So LeBron James is really good right now. Michael Jordan was really good back in the day. If you get a LeBron James fan and a Michael Jordan fan together in the same room and get them into a discussion about who's better, it can turn violent. People literally get arrested arguing over who's better. And it's basketball. I mean, it's fun to watch. It's entertaining. But how does that really affect us? And yet people take it so seriously. Imagine how these Jews reacted when this man came along and said, Moses couldn't give you eternal life. Abraham, you know, he's dead. If a man believes on me, he'll never die. It was something that Jesus Christ was asking them to believe. Let's go back to chapter 6 of John. Chapter 6 of John and verse 28. This is just before the discussion on manna. A group of Jews were talking to Jesus Christ, and verse 28, then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. That was what Jesus Christ was trying to get them to do. He was doing everything he could to bring them to the point of believing that, yes, he is the Son of God. Yes, he is the Messiah. He's the one that God sent. He's the one that gives eternal life to all those who believe on him. You know, that's what he was working towards. And it hasn't changed today. Let's go to Acts chapter 4. Shortly after Jesus Christ was crucified and resurrected, and then he ascended into heaven. Just after that, men and women received the ability to become sons of God. They were given the Holy Spirit. And there were certain men who were commissioned directly by Jesus Christ to preach the gospel, the word of God, to all nations. A couple of those were Peter and John, and they did that. They went around doing the same things that Jesus Christ did. They healed, they worked miracles, they cast out devils. And again, people opposed them. People said, hey, you can't do this. In one of those cases, they had healed a man, and then they were taken to court because of it. And the leaders of the Jews and leaders of the nations sat him down and said, hey, how are you doing this? You know, what gives you the right to do this? In Acts chapter 4, in verse 8, this is Peter's response. Peter is one of the men who was around Jesus and with him during his earthly ministry. And this is his response to these leaders who asked him, what gives you the right to do this? Verse 8, then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, you rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, to the disabled man, by what means he is made whole. They had just healed this man, so they're being questioned about it. Be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So now Peter is making the same kind of statements as Jesus Christ did. You know, he's saying that, no, there's no other name whereby we must be saved. There's no other way that you're going to get eternal life. Jesus Christ is the only way. Either Peter was speaking the word of God, which was true, or he was being tremendously blasphemous. God still asks us to believe the word of God. That's still the work of God that we are to do in this day and age. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. You know, Jesus Christ asked us to believe these things. Keep in mind, there was plenty of proof. There were signs, miracles, and wonders. There were signs in heaven. The stars aligned to point out who he was. There was a voice from heaven, from God, saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And the word of God testified time after time. It lined up exactly with what he was doing and what he said. So there was plenty of proof. There was plenty of reason to believe on this man that he was the Son of God. And today it's the same way. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. The Apostle Paul sent this letter to the Thessalonians. And part of what he says, he's describing how they received the word of God when he was in their city. He says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard of us, He received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. You know, the word of God works in those who believe. It's effectual in those who believe. That's still the work of God. You know, if we were to go to God or Jesus Christ today, which we have the right to go to God at any time, we can ask him, what are the works of God? What would you have me do? The answer is believe on his word. And it shows us a lot more because of that. But the answer is believe on his word. There's a lot of things that this pertains to. You know, this morning we heard speaking in tongues and interpretation. You know, that's an impossible thing. We hear it every Sunday, and yet how bizarre would it be to try and explain that to someone who's unfamiliar? Like try going to a university or to a high school, talking to the linguistics professor and telling him, I can talk in a foreign language. I've never been trained. I don't know what any of the words mean. I don't understand it at all, and yet I can speak it fluently. Fluently, as if I was a native speaker. And after you're done explaining that to him, then tell him, even though I don't understand what I just said, I'm going to tell you what it means. That's done by believing. That's done by seeing the word of God and saying, yes, I believe that. I'm going to do it. And it pertains to every aspect of life. There was a song we sang this morning, When We All Get to Heaven. There's a line in there that says, just one glimpse of him in glory will all the toils of life repay. Do we believe that? You know, for one, do you believe that Jesus Christ is going to return for those who have believed on him and take them to heaven? And when we get there, do you believe that one glimpse of him in glory is going to repay all the toils? Okay, do you believe that when you're doing well? Do you also believe that when you're in the midst of those toils? Go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 18. And the Apostle Paul says, for I reckon, or I conclude, it could be translated, that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So there you go. Either that's true or it's not. You know, God has ample reason, God has shown us ample reasons for us to believe. We see his faithfulness. We see his power every day. We can't see this yet. You know, we're not going to see this until it comes to pass. But we can decide to believe on it because we know who God is, because we know that his word is always true, because we know that he's faithful. You know, let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1, we just spent the last 3 weeks looking through the book of Ephesians, the first three chapters, and I can't possibly teach all three chapters in the time I have, but the CDs are available if you want to get those, and I'd recommend them. But we saw so many things throughout the book of Ephesians. You know, when the Jews asked Jesus Christ that question, what might we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus Christ said, this is the work of God, that you believe on the one that he has sent. Today, we are still to believe on the one that he has sent. And not just that, we're to believe on what that means for us, what that makes us. You know, verse 3 of Ephesians chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. You know? We can choose to believe that. We can choose to believe that we are blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ. You know, because of this man Christ, because of what he did, of what he accomplished by doing the will of God, now we are blessed with all spiritual blessings. That's a tremendous thing. That's a powerful thing to have in your mind, to have in this world. How about verse 7? In whom, in Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. according to the riches of his grace. How many in here have ever sinned? All right, all hands raised. That's good. How many of you understand that you're forgiven if you believed on Jesus Christ? How many of you believe that every moment of every day? That's our job. That's our task. That's our challenge of believing this word of God, of walking out in the world that tries every day to pull us off of the word of God, to break us away from it. Our challenge is to hold on to this word of God and not let it go. You know, all throughout this book and all throughout the entire New Testament and the Old Testament as well is filled with so much of what God has done, of who he is, of what Jesus Christ did and who we are because of that. Just deciding I'm going to believe on this. That's something that that requires thought, that requires diligence, but it's something we can do, and it's something that bears fruit in our lives. You know, there's plenty in chapter 2 of Ephesians as well. You know, chapter 2, verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, has made us alive together with Christ. Do we believe that God loves us all the time? He loves us whether we believe it or not, but it's going to affect us more if we believe it. It's going to benefit us more if we believe it. We're going to have greater joy, greater peace if we believe that God is not against us. He's for us. He loves us. He cares for us. He watches out for us. Yeah, there's so much in these verses that I could go to. You know, but just remembering that this is our task, to believe on Jesus Christ, to believe on what he's done, to believe on who that makes us now. So let's go to chapter 3 and verse 20. You know, this was where we concluded last week on Ephesians chapter 3, that Paul expressed this prayer that he prayed, that we would be filled with the Spirit of God in manifestation, that we would be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Verse 20 says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Trusting that God is going to work in us to accomplish his purposes, to do what he says he'll do, to enable us to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Believing that, holding on to that, helps us to walk in this life. So I want to thank everyone for being here. Up next, Randy Mellon is going to teach. He's going to share some more. And so again, thanks everyone. God bless you.